We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Have yeah,
to
absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, citizens of Netlandia. Welcome to our Really Radio Show 92 for Friday, January 15th, 2016, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly irrational conversations that make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, with my usual suspects, Michael Robinson and Fred Sims. Welcome, gentlemen.
Why, hello there.
Hello.
We have the whole spritz screen kind of thing going on here in studio camera. You can watch out at our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/ohreallyradio. This will, of course, be under, conveniently enough, show 92, at least when I finish all the editing. Or you could watch live right now on the website at, well, ohreallyradio.com. Of course, if you're already listening, then you're probably already doing that, or you already know to do that. So really, I should just encourage you to do that next time.
Or at least share it.
Or at least share it
with
it.
Other people.
You should share the show, which is kind of hard to say. Share the show.
Share the show.
Share the show. Yeah, something like that. Okay. Anywho, this has been quite a week. We've had some things. Let me go through the some of the segments here. On this day in history. The first telephone line in 1913 between Berlin and New York was inaugurated.
Inaugurated.
Nah.
He doesn't just screw up people's names, folks.
No. I screw up pretty much anything that can come out of my mouth.
You English good.
And me talk pretty one day.
Just not today.
That's right. In 1919, peasants in central Russia rose against the Bolsheviks. I believe that was called the Bolshevik Revolution.
And look where it's got them.
Yeah.
Thanks, Putin.
Nice. There we go. We should start doing that. In 1936, in London, Japan quits all naval disarmament talks after being denied equality. See what that got them?
See what that got us.
It exactly.
Just took 6 years.
Exactly. Equality is what wins the day, people. See?
It's important.
That's right. In 1976, Sarah Jane Moore was sentenced to life in prison for her failed attempt to assassinate U.S. President Gerald Ford. In 1992, Slovenia and Croatia's independence from the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia is recognized by the international community. And here's the big one. 2001, Wikipedia goes online. And with that, I'm going to say something about Wikipedia. Because I can.
Are you annoyed by misinformation spreading like crazy? And you want to stop the flood of nonsense coming from all directions? Go to Wikipedia, as do all those millions out there. Did you know there's an edit button on all Wikipedia articles? Why don't you go and hit that button to start making the world's largest online encyclopedia a more reliable source of information? If you're specifically interested in skeptical topics, come and join us at Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, an international endeavor to change the world for the better, word by word. There are many ways you can contribute. You just need to start. You speak several languages? All the more reason to join us. We provide training and all the help you need. If you want to make a change, there's a nice community waiting for you out there. Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com, visit our website, that's gorillaskeptics.com, or check out the Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia Facebook page.
And this is sadly where I need to find a sound effect for playing taps. Oh, there we go. I think I found it. There we go. That's good enough. This week, we have lost David Bowie and Alan Rickman, this week to cancer. They were both aged 69. And it sucks. Hardcore. And hopefully we don't lose anyone else, because apparently being the age of 69 and being a Hollywood and music icon is apparently a death sentence lately with cancer. So let's put it there. Fred, who did you figure out was on the list?
Yeah, that's a back and forth. Also 69 would be Tim Curry, which would be terrible.
That'd be bad.
Also 69 would be Donald Trump. Just saying, maybe not so bad.
That's right.
God tweeted on the whole Donald Trump thing. He said, "I don't want him either." You understand?
Yeah, God tweeted.
Right. Yeah, the tweet of God.
Satan didn't say anything.
Yeah,
we haven't heard from any of the Endless on this one. So you know, I mean, I'm convinced that
does the adversary really want him either? I don't think so.
Well, I'm despair might. But I'm convinced that
someone will take him.
David Bowie is not dead. He just took him home. So
there you go. Yeah.
If that's the case, then Rickman went with him. He fell off Nakatomi Tower through a portal and is with David Bowie at a bar right now.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. If Snape can't magic himself alive, then my whole worldview has just turned.
Right.
Man, it's rough. It's rough for us geeks out here.
I was going to say, what was his initial opening in Harry Potter to where he can help you put a stopper in death? Come on, Alan Rickman.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know you copied that spell down.
You'd think. You'd hope. Well, you know, they never went. She never went into J.K. Rowling. She never went into whether or not the wizarding world had cured cancer.
That's very true.
Never did. Yeah.
But they did have bottles of Skelligrow. So, I don't know.
They've got some pretty advanced medicine going on.
Maybe it was presumed.
There's still time. I mean, they're going into that whole Newt Scamander story now, so maybe they talk about it in that. It's a prequel, information.
Newt Scamander. Oh, that's his name.
Scamander. I threw an extra R in there. I pulled an Andy.
Yes.
Oh, thanks. Great. Nice. Can't deny it either. I can't deny it either. Damn it.
But where's the lie, though?
Okay, so.
And now I'm no longer allowed on the show.
And
I'll leave.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And all I have to do is mute your microphone. And oh, where's Fred? I don't know what happened.
Been awfully silent all show, sir.
There he goes. Okay. Yes, I have the controls, you know. Anywho, the people that did not have control, apparently there was this other thing that happened this week. Oh, yeah, another GOP debate thing. Well, they trimmed down the pack. That's not to say that people aren't still running, but they did not invite Carly Fiorina back, nor did they invite Rand Paul back. But Rand was invited someplace else. He went on The Daily Show and had a lovely conversation with Noah, and they drank bourbon. And we listened to a little bit of it before the show. We're not going to inflict our listeners with it, because you can just go out to Comedy Central and watch it yourselves, or follow the link on our show notes, also available out at overlayradio.com. And what I noticed was that, you know, he sounds really reasonable. The things that he says are very reasonable. The libertarian ideas are very reasonable until you try to legislate them. You actually try to put them into law.
Yeah, the problem with libertarianism, I have figured this out after following Ron Paul for a long time, because Rand Paul, I think, is just kind of
a clone of his dad.
He doesn't have any impact to me. He's got nothing good going for him. But Ron Paul, I actually still find that some of his ideas I'm like 110% behind. The problem with it is that libertarianism assumes a certain level of responsibility and common decency in government, in civil matters, and especially in corporate policy that just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You have to assume that people are going to be decent people, but people are not going to be decent people.
You can't make that assumption.
We know what happens, especially when they start talking about the free market. We know what happens when you don't regulate corporations. They stomp all over everyone.
You know, strangely, libertarianism works really well in a socialist commune.
It does.
Because you can't make that the assumption in our government, because there's never been any evidence that would support that assumption. We don't provide the evidence that there's any decency once you reach a certain level of even the base levels of government, there's no decency. Immediately starts turning you. There's something about politics that is akin to the dark side.
Well, there's that old adage, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yeah.
And it's just human. You would think that they would realize this. It's super obvious that human nature just means that people are going to be assholes unless you stop them.
Well,
what's the whole thing about having locks on doors and fences around people's property? It keeps people honest.
Locks keep honest people honest. Yeah, I've said that.
Yeah, this is a thing.
Yeah, it's so funny because they start to espouse, you know, all this independence and everything, and I'm all for being independent and working your butt off and making your way in the world. I think that's a great concept to have. However, they think that they can do it all themselves, every little bit. They completely ignore all the vast infrastructure that has been put into place over hundreds of years.
Yeah, they also completely ignore that only works if everyone is protected to actually be equal. And the only way you're going to do that is with laws and government regulation.
Yeah. It's that I want smaller government and I want government to be completely out of my hands, but I want them to enforce that I can do the things I need to do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work so well. Anyway, that's the grand problem with libertarianism. You know, go ahead, give it a shot, but at least recognize that there is a purpose for having all of these things. Like, I think there was some social experiment where they said, okay, there's no laws, you can do whatever you want. And then they realized that they were having a trash problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to collect all the trash and take it somewhere. And then they realized...
But nobody
wanted to do it, so they're going to have to hire somebody to do it. But since it was a big social thing and it was for the good of everyone, they had to come together. And then all of a sudden, they ended up having to pay things. So they had to collect a fee for that from everybody so that it would happen. And then all of a sudden, they have a government.
Yeah, it happens.
It all happens because we generate crap and we have to have that crap taken care of.
Well, government is, I think
government is sneaky.
It's a natural order.
Yeah.
Product of human psychology, because we are social creatures, and if you are social creatures, you need a hierarchy and you need rules.
Yeah,
natural can still be sneaky. Government is sneaky. You know, it's one of those things where you look at it and you're like, oh, well, we don't need that. We don't require any of that. And then all of a sudden, it sneaks up on you. I mean, cancer.
It turns out that you do.
There's a ton of things that are natural that are sneaky.
Yeah.
Well, they're only sneaky because we don't think that way. You know, it's not that it was hiding on purpose.
It's just we didn't think about it.
Yeah, it was always there. So, just a little food for thought. Other food for thought, which is rather sad. Al Jazeera America is going to shut down its American network in April due to people not actually caring about facts. That's pretty much the gist of it. There was just lack of interest. Let's see. Financed by the ruling family of Qatar, Al Jazeera America was launched in summer of 2013, and it promised thoughtful, serious news coverage. That seems to be a mistake here in the United States. here's how John Siegenthaler. Siegenthaler. A former news anchor for NBC and MSNBC explained the network to NPR's David Folkenflik at this time. Man, these names. They have told me that they are not interested in the ratings, that they're interested in doing news, and they believe there's an audience out there that will follow. But almost as soon as it launched, Al Jazeera America was plagued by problems. The network never quite connected with American audiences, and internal tensions spilled onto the press. In a memo to the staff today being several days ago, Al Jazeera America chief executive Al Ansi and Al Jazeera was closing shop in the United States because its business model was unsustainable. Since its launch in 2013, the work done by the team at Al Jazeera America has been recognized with nearly every major award in an American news organization can receive. We have increasingly set ourselves apart from the rest, and the achievements of the past 2.5 years should be a source of immense pride for everyone. So, yeah. Then things just kind of filtered out, because here in the United States, we'd much rather say, look at Donald Trump, and he is the poster child for this. He is pants on fire, liar, liar, pants on fire with PolitiFact. Nothing he has said that they have checked has been 100% truthful. It has always
been. And most of it is not even more than 50% true.
Yeah. Well, more than 50% has just been an outright lie. And some of it has been such a gross fabrication that it ends up with, I think, an 18% pants on fire rating.
Yeah, something like that.
And yet every time he says something defamatory, something misogynistic, something bigoted, something absolutely racially hurtful, or just something he thinks.
Yeah, these are just the thoughts in his brain.
People just eat it up. They eat it up like crazy, and his ratings go through the roof. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why Al Jazeera America is closing. And this is why we have an entire party that's following this guy. Now, certainly, I don't want to disparage all proper thinking Republicans out there. I know that you're out there. I know that you have a good head on your shoulders, and you are shaking your head saying, what the hell has happened? Well, what has happened is, and you might have noticed, the Tea Party and the right-wing media has gone so far over to the right that this is the kind of vitriol that you end up with all the time. It ends up getting ratings. And if it's all that you watch all the time, it starts to seep into your consciousness, and then you think it all the time. It works with that. There's one of those secrets of successful people. Be around. You know, you are the five people that you're around the most. You know, you emulate those people. So if all you ever hear is bigoted, hateful speech all the time, that seeps into your consciousness and you become that. So the listeners of Fox News, when that's the only thing that you're listening to, and all the people around you, that's the only thing that they're listening to, and those are the conversations you have about the black man in the White House and all those racial epithets and everything else. You become that person. You become the thing that you hate most, or at least the thing that you'd like to think you hate the most.
That you pretend to hate the most.
Right.
Because here's the thing about that, because I've heard this before, but this is also another psychological study. This phenomenon only happens if you don't take charge of your own thinking, if you just sit around and be passive all the time, if all you do is listen to what other people are telling you, then yes, this will happen. If you start doing what we here do, which is go and check facts for ourselves and go and seek out other sources and do your research, then just by the simple act of being proactive in the information that you get, going and looking for it for yourself, that changes your entire mode of thinking. And you start thinking your own thoughts and not someone else's thoughts.
Being skeptical. Question everything, including the things I've said, including the things that come out of your own mouth. Question everything. Because it's important to do so.
You know, I'm going to kind of go a different way with this.
Okay, what you got?
the way you guys are describing it is spot on. I'm not against that. But even in the own, in the story, they talk about how Al Jazeera was not interested in ratings. So what, you know, Fox News may be doing to get ratings doesn't work for Al Jazeera. Our country, let's go with 50% of it, is absolutely afraid of a name, Barack Hussein Obama. I think this is a branding issue. They say in the story it was plagued by problems from the beginning. Al Jazeera is a very foreign-sounding name for a lot of Americans to look at this and go, why would I get my news from them when I can get it from Fox? Well, that sounds like a normal name.
If that is definitely a problem that I think they had, because I know I was not interested in Al Jazeera when I was – but you know, before I was – when I was much more conservative than I am now, because now I'm basically not.
You paid attention to what they were presenting, Al Jazeera, it was like, wait a minute, that's just a Muslim news station. Why would I care about that?
Why would I want to listen to that? Especially coming from a conservative background, even though I was trying to not be an asshole, why would I want to listen to something that comes from the enemy? Of course, now I know better, because you should always listen to what your enemy is saying, the better to combat them.
Like you said earlier, the fact that we fact check, that we look into things, that we don't just take things on blind faith, that when you see something like that, it's like, wait a minute, it says Al Jazeera America, but look at all the stories that are coming out of there. That's not a Muslim news station. Let me find out what they actually are.
Branding was probably an issue for them, but even so, I was never particularly compelled by not necessarily the stories they reported on, because they reported on some good, important things, but just the way that they did it, something about their tone, never.
Oh, they were definitely haughty. They were above all the American news stations.
Well,
just something about the tone of their writing never caught me, and that's also bad because you can be an impartial source reporting real news and still be compelling, but if you're boring, no one's going to listen to you.
It was basically, it's BBC News, essentially, but with an American accent as opposed to a British accent.
I was going to say NPR in a way, like an NPR type deal, boring, but people still kind of listen.
Right, but
the funny thing is that I think that both of those examples there, NPR and BBC News, are far more compelling and less boring than Al Jazeera was.
Well, yeah, but I think NPR has come around. Because there was always the joke that like you turn NPR on for your pet when you leave the house and the pet does whatever it can to like kill itself. Like, I think NPR has come a long way.
Yeah, it's true. They have. They've got a lot better staff writers and they have a narrative they can actually run now. But I think that also hurts their credibility a little bit, because now, you know, they're more left-leaning, or at least that's from the appearances, they're more left-leaning. So they're not down the middle. Now, if you take the BBC,
a liberal bias, so.
I know, but don't tell that to the people that watch that Red Channel. I mean,
I don't give a crap. I'm going to keep telling it until it gets through their thick skull, even if I have to crack it on the way down.
It will never get through their thick skull. You could tell them all day long, they'll never believe you.
I disagree. I strongly disagree, because I know I have changed my opinion, and I was one of those people, and I know that my cousin, who was raised in the same environment, has changed and is no longer conservative, nor is my sister, nor is my brother. People can change.
Just look at it like level grinding. You'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
But you gotta kill
a pain in the ass.
But you gotta kill more of those little two weeks or whatever.
I was gonna say, I apparently need to do more work, because the people that I'm trying to grind down are just making me want to quit. Believe what you want.
Yeah. It can be done, I'm telling you. I've seen it happen. I am living proof.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to hit you up for tactics, and we'll go from there.
There was no one who was more conservative than me, man. I watched Fox News at dinner with my grandparents. I listened to Rush Limbaugh of my own volition. I was bad.
Oh, you're dirty. You're dirty.
Yes. Because Rush Limbaugh is two things, awful and nothing else.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
That's the best description I've ever heard for Rush Limbaugh.
Well, there is a reason why his fans are called Ditto Heads.
Yep.
And for those of you that are under a certain age group that might actually be listening, do you know what a ditto is? Because it's not just a, you know, yeah, ditto that, you know, whatever. A ditto was actually a form of copy before there were actual copy machines. There was the ditto machine. And you would take one sheet and it would kind of be on a, on the blue paper. People of my generation may understand this. You know, when they'd get the handouts in elementary school, they would be slightly blue. And that's because of the ditto press making, I can't remember the actual process. I'll have to look that up because it's just nostalgic at this point because we so totally don't need it. But that's where that came from. So a little. Anyway, I'm sure nobody even gives two shits about that. But there's probably a couple people out there that are going, yes, I remember you. You remember my childhood. You validate me.
The other part of this Al Jazeera thing, and it may be totally not related, but this, their closing down Al Jazeera America came right after, and this is, again, for most of America, they had two bad reports regarding sports, and that seems like such an odd topic for Al Jazeera to be covering. They had put out a story about Peyton Manning and using performance-enhancing drugs and then literally turned around and was like, oh, no, that was all bad information. You know,
Wait. You mean they actually corrected themselves?
Oh, yes. They, again.
Amazing.
A credible news source going, hey, we made a mistake. This was not accurate information that we received. And going back and apologizing. They did all of that. But at the same time, they had put out the bad information in the first place. And then you wonder, like, how did that get through? Like, at what point, like, did they maybe lapse in their background checking? Did they lapse in checking up on the stories to see what was actually going out? Did that play any part? Not the sports part, but just the fact that maybe some stuff that wasn't as credible got out.
Was it actually real? And they were just told that, no, that wasn't real. It'd be a pity if that story went unchecked. Like your knees. We take sports rather seriously here in the United States.
And yes, we do. Yeah. And from what I've listened to with this show, when it comes to sports, I would be the most sports nuts of all of us. You know, all the people you've had on the show, I could be wrong, but
congratulations. Let go, sports ball.
Exactly. And,
do the thing, win the points.
With that particular player, I wouldn't think that it would come down to let's not have that story go unchecked like your knees. I think it's more that story was just false. That particular player would be one of those that if he was dirty in that way would completely and totally shock me. There's other players that if you said it, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. That dude is really dirty.
All the more reason to cover it up.
Very true. I mean, it's true in one way, and then in the other way, I mean, nobody really cares about that. I'm all for steroids in baseball anyway, you know, like that type of thing. Like, let them cheat, fine, whatever. I don't care as long as it's entertaining. Bring the game back, make it cool.
It really
it fun.
Is entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. I don't understand why this thing exists.
They're
playing a game for entertainment purposes
for millions
that follows
of dollars.
An arbitrary set of rules,
I would
and ultimately
say,
the only person they're harming is themselves.
I would say keep it out of collegiate sports, though.
Yes.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, you need to have the high school and the
some
collegiate.
Ethics there, yeah.
Yes, you need to have that. But once you leave college and go to the major leagues and you're doing it for a job,
do whatever
cheat
you need
all you
to.
Want. Yeah. Yeah,
do whatever you need to. Everyone else does.
Who gives a shit? Yeah. I mean, this segues right into, you know, why are drugs illegal? If people want to bake their brains out, that's their fucking choice. But it's especially poignant here because it's a game.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend $120 to take me and my son to the game and have it be a boring 0-1 game. You know, I want to see 12-11 and I want to see 9 home runs in this game because these guys are all 350 pounds of home run mashing, steroided up, back zit, you know, just monsters. I'm cool with that.
Let's be honest. We watch hockey for the fights. We watch NASCAR. We watch NASCAR for the crashes.
That is exactly. That is 100% true.
We watch football to watch the quarterback get absolutely creamed.
If you look,
everyone is on the edge of their seat for a quarterback sack
exactly.
Every time. You all know it.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch NASCAR coverage on a sports channel like ESPN,
it's always
they show the winner. And the crashes.
That's it.
They don't care about anything else.
That's
the winner and the crashes.
First one to crash is the first winner.
Because the race itself is boring. They're just turning left 100 times.
Oh, my God. So many times.
I've done racing as, you know, competitively. I ran track and cross country. That was my sport.
How awesome would cross country be with crashes?
There are crashes.
That's called rally racing.
I'm
talking
that,
about people outside of cars. Like, I know Michael would know this because he ran cross country. People cross legs and feet and fall down. How awesome would it be if ESPN covered
too.
It?
People go rolling for yards.
Yes. Fantastic.
Road rash all day.
It's
only exciting while you're running it. If you're in the race, it's exciting because there are a lot of really subtle things that you have to do to get position in a race. But watching it, boring as fuck.
Yeah, it's like watching a marathon. Yeah.
It's boring as shit, and this is coming from someone who's done it, and then I sit on the sidelines and watch other people run, and it's not exciting.
It's like, I want to be out there with them. I don't want to be over here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And that's the way I feel about baseball, too.
Sheffy Buck in the chat room, cross-country running meets roller derby.
Ooh.
That would take... I believe that would take over the NFL. Like, it would compete with the NFL.
I think we're on to something. We need to do something with that. I would be in the chat room, but my computer has said that Flash is bad and will not open that. So
I'll do. I can't even use
my own chat room on my computer, but that's okay because I'm doing everything else. So we'll let that slide.
We've got someone in the chat room for us because I am also having problems with my new rig. I haven't quite got all the kinks worked out yet.
Yeah.
It doesn't like some web pages. It won't load them at all.
It is a little difficult. Now, since we were talking, since we segued into sports there, I think that is a fantastic segue into our next story, which is Robot Wars is being rebooted on the BBC and is promising new and improved innovative robots.
Robot Wars is the best.
I don't care if it's the old robots.
Exactly.
I don't even need innovation. Just show me the old stuff.
I just want Grant Imahara to come back and just beat everyone.
Beat the crap out of everybody because that man knows how to build a goddamn robot.
That's right.
Every time he wins, I want him to go myth busted.
See, Robot Wars is the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because and you cannot deny that humans have this primal urge for blood sports. We love it. It's all through our history. We love seeing people beat the crap out of each other. And in Robot Wars, we get that without anybody getting hurt.
Oh,
and it's great.
New series has been commissioned by channel controller Kim Schillinglaw, acting controller of entertainment Alan Tyler, and Joe Street, BBC commissioning editor. This will be on BBC Two.
Is it on BBC?
See.
Okay, it's returning to BBC Two.
The Much Loved series was originally presented by Craig Charles and aired on BBC Two from 1998 until 2001, before Channel 5 then picked it up for the final season in 2003. Man, it's been that long. Jeez.
Well, didn't they run it on Comedy Central for a little bit, like the old...
I think there was an American version. In addition, I may be off base on that, but
they ran Robot Wars something on Comedy Central for a short period of time.
Yeah. Well, they also did Junkyard Wars too, which is one of my other all-time favorite random things they could possibly play. Which is basically the A-Team but in game show format. Go into a junkyard and weld and build things and then compete. How awesome. Now, if you combine the two, Junkyard Robot Wars.
You get your outer hole from the junkyard and then you get to install electronics and
basically
let them fight
each
other.
You either have to build a robot or build a mech.
Mech
Sweet.
All day,
yeah.
every day.
All day, every day.
And then I rob banks with it. Oh, I think I've crossed a line.
You might have crossed a line there. You might have crossed a line. But other lines that we apparently have crossed, the manatees are now off the endangered species list. At least this is what I hear buzz all over the place. I did not get a solid link on that. And another line that may have been crossed is that human trials will begin on freeze-dried poop pills as a weight loss treatment. Just let that sink in for a moment.
This is the second moment of silence in
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, it's like, there you go. Okay, so, all right. Basically, this is a fecal matter transplant, a fecal microbiota transplantation, FMT. It even has its own acronym. Transfers intestinal bacteria by a stool transplant from a healthy, lean person to a person with obesity. Poop samples from lean and healthy donors will be freeze-dried and then given to 21 obese patients during the course of the trial. There's a growing belief that this kind of treatment could help with weight loss and other various metabolic disorders, but so far we have only had a few animal studies and some anecdotal evidence in humans. Anecdotal evidence in humans? Ugh. To go off. The new study should give us much more information about the potential of the humble poop pill. Humble.
Yeah.
The humble poop pill.
The anecdotal evidence, I mean, that's...
It's a little disturbing, isn't it? It's like, ooh,
that's wait. Yeah, that's the real kicker it's in like, the story. It's like...
It's just like, hey, I dropped 50 pounds recently. How'd you do it? Poop.
It's like, well, yeah. I ate somebody else's poop.
We do some pretty weird things for science, but...
At
least it's freeze-dried, and you're just swallowing it.
Yeah. And it looks like it's also in a time-release capsule, so...
Yeah, which means it's basically supposed to make it through your stomach, and then they have pills now that essentially only release once they're in a certain part of your gut.
Yep.
So, though I would really think, wouldn't this be more effective as a suppository? Just direct? But
I don't.
But
think
you know,
it's, so.
It's not just.
I'm not the medical doctor.
Way.
Jack.
It's actually to, for your stomach, for your gut, is what they say. There's actually a story at the end of it, that's titled appropriately. Your poop could earn you $13,000. They're looking for donors, and essentially they pay $40 per donation plus a $50 bonus if you can make 5 on-site poops in a week. And apparently, if you can do it over a year, it will reach $13,000 for the year just for pooping.
Okay.
Wow.
You have to be healthy, obviously, because they say that the rigorous screening process to find a donor is to keep recipients safe, and that an overweight donor caused a woman to rapidly gain weight to the point of being obese. So apparently it works in reverse. If you want to put on weight, find a fat person's poop and take that pill. If you want to lose weight, find a healthy person's poop and take that pill.
Oh, the implications. Now, there's also a couple other Read Next articles. One is poo transplants can eliminate 2 superbugs from the gut, a mice study. And the next one, and this is my favorite, science says a poo transplant through the nose works better than antibiotics.
No. No. No.
No. Can't make me.
Absolutely not.
Not happening.
Through the nose?
Yeah, apparently. Well, you know, anytime that you smell a fart, you're not actually smelling methane. You're smelling fecal matter. Which means that particulate of fecal matter has gone into your nose.
So if I smell farts, I'm healthier for it.
Sure. So Dutch oven all you
gross.
Like.
Gross.
Oh yeah. Look, I think poop is hilarious. I don't think poop is medicine. There's a difference. Like there's a total difference here. Like you tell me a poop joke, I'm gonna laugh. You tell me poop will make me healthier? No, you're a liar. And that's the worst joke.
Oh well. That's so fantastic. Okay, so as if that wasn't weird enough, I have got another story here. Shoplifter bites off Walmart worker's finger while stealing condoms and lube. This is a South Carolina woman, at least. It's not a Florida woman.
It's not Florida man.
No, not Florida man or Florida woman.
She probably moved from Florida to South Carolina. I mean, honestly.
I don't wish to know this. I don't wish to know. South Carolina woman was arrested Sunday after police say she bit off part of a Walmart employee's finger. As the worker tried to stop her from stealing an assortment of condoms, panties, and sexual lubricant. According to the police in Myrtle Beach, Myrtle Beach, yep. Carolyn Wright concealed about $40 worth of merchandise on her person and attempted to flee the store. She's only 23 years old. Getting off to a grand start there. Two female prevention loss officers, employed by Walmart went after her. Police say the undaunted Wright punched one of the employees in the head and then bit the other's finger so hard that part of it came off. Wright then fled the store. Yeah. Police arrived as, Wright and the 71-year-old van driver, who apparently she punched in the face. wow. Okay. It just gets worse and worse. Apparently they were blocking her from driving away or over a bystander or something like that. Yeah.
Well then.
Wright was sentenced to 6 days in jail and ordered to pay fines totaling $173.90.
The person she punched in the face was actually a customer who tried to call 911 because she, you know, was attacking the other two.
Okay.
I'm going to take the law enforcement approach on this. Based off of what I'm seeing in the story, this was a 23-year-old former stripper. With a 71-year-old man and a driver, 71-year-old driver of a van. This was a hooker with a John, and she went in to get things to continue her transaction, started a fight so she could make the money from the 71-year-old, and, you know, basically that's where it all stemmed from. That's what I'm going to go with.
I believe you have put this story together quite well. Yeah.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah, I mean, again, just based off of what I know previously from, you know, like I said, you know, previous law enforcement experience,
this chick
is a hooker, and that guy was paying for her services, but she wasn't going to do it without condoms. So
and
she went
apparently
in to steal them. Well, I mean, it's a 71-year-old guy. I don't think she's getting too excited.
No. Probably not. Well, okay, so, wow. Clear plastic high-heeled shoes. Okay, in March, Wright who was then employed as a stripper, pled guilty to assaulting a fellow dancer with a clear plastic high-heeled shoe.
And since we know that we have a history on this show of Walmart and drugs,
I'm going to assume
there might be some kind of drug involved.
There could be a few, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
But again, those are just assumptions. I'm not saying that I know that for truth.
Well,
it's probably true, though.
We may come back to Walmart here in a bit, but until then, we've got two science stories. The first one, which I'll lead off, and then Mike can take the next one. Scientists bust the myth that our bodies have more bacteria than human cells. This kind of works together with that the poo pills. Apparently, it used to be thought that there were, you know, like 10 to 1. Different bacteria, things that are not actually part of our own genome as part of our body, you know, the things that we run around with all the time. But actually, it seems that that is just a myth that has persisted from a 1972 estimate by a microbiologist named Thomas Lucky, or Lucky, I guess Lucky, which was, quote, elegantly performed, yet was probably never meant to be widely quoted decades later, say the paper's authors. In 2014, molecular biologist Judith Rosner at the U.S. National Institutes of Health at Bethesda expressed his doubts about the 10-to-1 claim, noting that there were very few good estimates for the number of human and microbial cells in the body. Milo, Sender, and Fuchs decided to re-estimate the number by reviewing a wide range of experimental data and literature, including DNA analysis to calculate cell numbers and magnetic resonance imaging to calculate organ volume. The vast majority of human cells in red are red blood cells. Basically, it's about, let's see. Where is that final word? Because I don't want to have to keep telling you through all of it. Putting together these kind of calculations, the researchers produced a ratio for microbial to human cells for the average man of 1.3 to 1, with a wide uncertainty. Milo declined to comment on the paper because it is in review at a scientific journal. So, it really, it's close to 1 to 1. There you go. A little bit more microbe than human, but really, it's closer to 1 to 1. So, myth busted.
Womp womp.
Yep. All right. And, Michael, you've got a story. What is this
yes,
about?
Yes, I found a science story that I was very excited about. I found several, but this was the one that I thought was most important. NASA's Juno spacecraft just set a distance record for a solar-powered device. It has gone further than any solar-powered device before, which is, I think, really important because we need renewable energy. And the advancement of solar power panels that are capable of producing useful electricity so far away from the sun with, you know, with such low levels of ambient light energy.
Yeah, that's hard. They got to be really efficient.
Means that they're really efficient. And that's good for us because efficiency means more power for less money. And we need more power, and we need it cheap. So this is exciting. I am excited to see what comes out of it, and where solar power goes from here.
So Juno was originally supposed to be a plutonium-238 powered spacecraft, but apparently we ran out of plutonium-238, so they decided to go with solar for the mission. Juno is going to reach Jupiter on July 4th of this year. And is going to be doing studies for Europa, I believe.
It is covering. Actually, it's observing the gas giant itself. We want to know more about the upper atmosphere and how it works.
Okay, they're doing multiple Europa flybys.
No, when they're talking about the Europa flybys, they're actually saying that those may be entirely solar powered.
Oh, okay.
If this mission is a success.
Okay, and also to test out feasibilities. Okay. Very good. You're reading ahead faster than I am.
Yes. Yeah, this one is – the Juno is strictly observing the upper atmosphere of Jupiter in more detail because there's some pretty fascinating things going on up there for atmospheric scientists. I don't know the science on that one, but apparently it's really fascinating.
Probing the clouds and aurora. It's only supposed to be there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Orbiting the world 33 times and dipping to within 5,000 kilometers above the cloud tops every 14 days in its first mission to Jupiter since the Galileo mission ended in 2003.
I can certainly theorize as to why it's interesting, knowing the composition of a gas giant's upper atmosphere, knowing the kind of elements that we could scoop out of that.
That's it, yeah.
You know,
harvesting.
We can harvest gas giants for materials.
For a long time.
You know?
Yeah. Powering Juno are three solar arrays, each 9 meters or 30 feet long, with about 18,698 solar cells. At its furthest, Juno will be 832 million kilometers from Earth. And this record is unlikely to be broken anytime soon, perhaps only slightly eclipsed by the upcoming Europa mission. So, that's great for solar. Man.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Earlier in there that basically it's where it's at right now, the sunlight is about 25 times less potent than if you were at Earth, and it only generates about 500 watts, but it's such a efficiently designed spacecraft that that 500 watts is more than enough to get this job done. So provided it is successful, they will use it for the Europa flyby mission, which means the 832 million kilometers will probably be broken once that mission takes place.
Yeah, but just barely because of the distances involved there.
Right.
But still.
But I mean, they only broke it by the 1 kilometer this time. Granted, that's a million miles, but.
Yeah, a long way. Okay, so that's that part of the news, and let's get into other things.
Hello, this is Gandersnitch the Goblin, and you're listening to the O'Reilly Radio Podcast. It's not for idiots. And since you're not an idiot either, please check out the Kickstarter for my very intelligent, family-friendly card game, Hogswallow, on Kickstarter now at hogswallow.wicked-clever.com.
Technically, it's out of Kickstarter now. It passed. But now you can follow that link and get to buy the actual product. So I figured I'd continue to add it in.
Hi, O'Reilly Radio listeners. This is your host, Andy Cowan, calling my voicemail to make sure that it still works. Please consider calling us, 470-222-6759. Bye.
Okay, and into the good. Well, let's go right back to Walmart, shall we? That's happened a few times when I forgot something. But in this case, Walmart is to shutter, as in close down, 269 stores, 154 of them, which are in the United States. What do you think about that? As, Mike, I know that you used to work for the, let's insert colorful adjective company here.
For the big blue giant. yes, I used to work for them. While this is not going to have a huge impact on their bottom line, which I would love to see happen because they're a terrible company and they need to suffer for their actions, this is possibly a step in the right direction. Because the great thing about these closures, when you look into it, is that the types of stores they're closing are the smaller ones, not the super centers, but they're closing a lot of the Walmart Express and neighborhood market stores. Because again, people are tired of their crap and don't want to deal with them a lot of ways.
I've
and
never encountered a Walmart Express.
Yeah, I was going to say I've never heard of that.
These stores closing, these were the small stores that they pioneered a project to try to specifically to crush small businesses. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to go in to neighborhoods and destroy the mom-and-pop shops and the smaller chain markets and all that because – they're evil, and it didn't work. It's backfiring, and now they have to close all these stores and take the loss, which is great because now they can get the fuck out of these neighborhoods and small businesses or, you know, at least less evil businesses can move in.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories about it. It's like, well, the damage is already done. They already closed a lot of the stores. And now they're going to be putting 16,000 workers, 10,000 of them in the United States, out of a job. Their global workforce, just for demographics, is 2.2 million people, 1.4 million in the U.S. alone.
I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't have short-term negative consequences, because it does, but...
Those numbers always bounce back.
I think in the long term, it's a good thing.
16,000 workers seems like a lot. But when you look at it over like a U.S. scale, it's not that many. Those people will find jobs and they won't find them for such a terrible company. Take your experience, go to a Publix or go to another grocery chain that's just as good. Find an Aldi. Work for an Aldi. Such an amazing store.
That's true. Aldi does, they actually pay their employees quite well. I've heard the same thing with, Trader Joe's. Publix has always had very competitive wages. So, of course, Publix is down here in the South, y'all.
Yeah.
Yes, hence the reason why I switched it from Publix to Aldi. I mean, I'm sure Aldi has a more U.S. presence than Publix does. But I know Publix is trying to grow past just a South store. They've moved over as far west as Texas, I believe. But they're
migrating. They they beat out the Piggly Wiggly, so they've got the power to do it.
That's true. They did beat out Piggly Wiggly. I forgot about that. Also, Wawa, you know, as stores have, stores continue to migrate, they've migrated south while Publix is migrating north. You can make more money working at Wawa than you can at Walmart. Pretty easily.
And that's just the thing. I mean, like Michael said, this is a good thing because of what it does, not immediately to the bottom line of Walmart, but that maybe Walmart will start to see, hey, maybe we should scale back and start focusing in other directions. I know he's mentioned on previous shows that if the founder could come back, he would slap the ever-living piss out of his children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Walmart is not going to go back to Sam Walton's values until his kids die. It's just not going to happen.
Are they 69? Because that could happen.
They are spoiled little shits.
If they're 69 and die from cancer? Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Also covered in the closures are 23 of the neighborhood markets, 12 super centers, 7 stores in Puerto Rico. Wow, 7 in Puerto Rico? Okay. And 6 discount stores and 4 Sam's wholesale clubs. Hmm.
Yeah, don't go to Sam's Club. Go to Costco. It's better.
Yeah, well, they actually pay their employees well, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Costco has
say that, it's better. That or BJ's, either one.
Yeah, BJ's is okay, but I think Costco is probably
Costco reigns supreme, but if you're listing the 3, BJ's is still ahead of Sam's Club.
Oh absolutely.
Yeah. And of
course, Sam's Club is terrible.
They're not everywhere, so it's one of those things. Got to pick and choose. All right, more than 95% of the stores set to be closed in the U.S. are within 10 miles of another Walmart. Just 10 miles. They have kind of blanketed the areas. And some of them, you know, they had just the old school Walmart, and then they built a super center like 10 miles away, and then maybe they closed the other one, maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it all depends, but I hope that this brings back some mom and pop, you know, local business. I hope, but you know, I'm that kind of guy.
Well, that I was going to issue that same hope. You know, that obviously they did already take out some of the small business, but this would present an opportunity for another entrepreneur to kind of come in and start something up, maybe, you know, or like you said, just another quality employee first company to open another store and help the local job market that way.
Indeed. Now, since we are so optimistic, there is some good news that actually came out of Louisiana. Bobby Jindal, Piyush Bobby Jindal, has finally stepped down as governor of Louisiana, leaving his state a disaster that yet again must be cleaned up by a Democrat. This is an op-ed piece, so it is obviously leaning very heavily, but it has all the numbers that we need. He leaves office with the second lowest approval rating in the nation, just behind Kansas's Sam Brownback. He will be remembered for turning a $2 billion surplus into a $2 billion budget shortfall by giving billions in corporate handouts for jobs that never actually materialized. He will also be remembered for eviscerating the public school system. He replaced those schools with privatized charter schools, deepening racial segregation, and allowing creationism to be taught in those taxpayer-funded schools. Mother Jones even discovered that kids were being told that, quote, the Ku Klux Klan did community organizing. He then abandoned his state to make a dead-on-arrival run for presidency, running on a platform of anti-gay and anti-immigrant discrimination. So, yay! he will now retreat to his newly purchased $815,000 mansion and begin work at a think tank that he created and used to funnel $340,000 of his presidential campaign, America Next, too. He will be replaced by newly elected Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards, who was very upfront and honest in his inaugural speech. Quote, "We must be honest with ourselves and one another." Well, there's the honesty. "We must be grounded in reality and see the facts as they are, not as we want them to be." Well, that's good. I like that. Acknowledging the huge problems facing the state of Louisiana, Edwards then laid out a progressive agenda to begin uplifting his citizens out of the rut that Jindal administration had forced them to wallow in. One of his first actions will be to accept funding for the Medicaid expansion, giving health care to 300,000 of his citizens who desperately need it. He has promised to issue an executive order to begin expansion preparations within 24 hours, aiming to have the process completed by July 1st. That's amazing. That's amazing. So all we needed was one person to go in there, and suddenly 300,000 people gain access to healthcare. That is the big difference between having a Republican in office and having a Democrat in office.
It doesn't get much more clear than this. Republican in office has huge budget surplus, gives a bunch of corporate handouts, gets nothing in return, and leaves the place in the shitter. Over his tenure. Democrat gets into office. The next day, thousands of people have health care.
Or at least on their way to it, yeah.
Things are already getting better. It took a day.
Yeah. He also focused on alleviating poverty in the state, which is one of the highest poverty rates in the nation at 19.1%, especially among school-aged children, one in four of whom live in a poor family. He will then begin raising the minimum wage and passing equal pay legislation while somehow grappling with the enormous budget deficit that Jindal left him. It's, wow. Good luck. Good luck, sir.
I believe it, you.
Yeah.
Honestly, this sets Mr. Bel Edwards up for potential runs at much bigger offices later. If he turns this state around,
if he can manage it.
It's just, again, Jindal took $2 billion and turned it into $2 billion negative. That's a $4 billion turnaround. If Bel Edwards turns that back around, that alone, it's just like, I'm running for president. Why? $4 billion the other way. Do you want to debate me on this?
Yeah.
I got math on my side.
The facts speak for themselves.
I give health care. I give equal pay. I raise minimum wage. Who's best to follow Bernie Sanders? I got this.
Well, let's hope it's a good 8 years. So let's keep an eye on Mr. Bel Edwards. That's B-E-L Edwards. So only one L in Bell.
One of those rare occasions where a guy with three names doesn't seem to be a serial killer.
At least not yet.
But, I mean, if he turns Louisiana around, maybe he can kill some. It'd be like a Dexter situation. He can kill whoever he wants as long as he does a good job as the governor.
Wow, really?
That's just wrong.
Really? You're going there? Okay.
Hey, we've been crossing lines all show.
Okay, well, with that, let's go with our logical fallacy of the week, which is... Fred, do you want to read it?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Our logical fallacy this week is straw man. You misrepresented someone's argument to make it easier to attack. By exaggerating, misrepresenting, or just completely fabricating someone's argument, it's much easier to present your own position as being reasonable. But this kind of dishonesty serves to undermine honest, rational debate. As an example, after Will said that we should put more money into health and education, Warren responded by saying that he was surprised that Will hates our country so much that he wants to leave it defenseless by cutting military spending.
Now, this is not necessarily a bad, but this is one of those, it's going to have consequences, and we need to be aware of the consequences, so that's why it's here. In reality, this is fantastic news.
Yeah, this is a good, but what is being asked to be done is bad.
Yeah. So what are we talking about? You don't even know yet. Have you noticed maybe that gas prices are now well under $2 a gallon here in the United States? It's kind of crazy. I filled up at $1.80. It was $1.799. And
we're talking about gas prices now?
Gas prices, yes.
Oh yeah, how they're miraculously lower?
That's right. They're miraculously lower.
I haven't seen prices this low since I was in the military.
Weird how we're talking low gas prices in the bad, but we haven't fleshed it out yet.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Russia is one of the main oil producers in the world. Same with the United States. And then there's OPEC, which is all the other oil-producing nations. Now, Russia has decided to up their output. America had upped their output, and with the tar sands project, you know, going to bring even more cheaper gasoline to market, Saudi Arabia, the chief nation in the OPEC, they upped their output to lower the fuel prices, lower the cost per barrel to under $80 a barrel, because $80 a barrel was the price point for tar sands oil, making it no longer cost effective to pull money out of the tar sands and with fracking. Sorry, it wasn't tar sands, it was fracking.
Yeah.
So what we have now is Russia saying, I like this game, let's do this. Now, the thing about what Saudi Arabia was doing, they were doing a loss leader. They were doing a gambit to try and staunch the hemorrhage of money that was going to their country. So by doing so, they were hoping to maintain their relevance, essentially. Make America stop doing what they're doing so that our oil is still valuable. Then Russia comes around, drops their prices, floods the market, oil prices go down even further. Saudi Arabia can't keep this up. Saudi Arabia has urged Moscow, not a member nation of OPEC, to pare back on the production to help rebalance the world's oversupplied market. Putin's not really interested in doing that, it would seem.
Yeah, it's a really weird day in the world when I side with Putin, because I would love to see them play this game of chicken with him, because he will not back down.
Yeah, that's definitely a man who will not back down. Earlier, I said, thanks, Putin. Now I'm legitimately like, thanks, Putin.
Thanks, Putin. Do the thing. Tell those greedy bastards to go shove it.
Now, it's his on-again, off-again desire to be awesome. Like, he'll have a week where he's amazing, and then he'll have a month where it's like, oh my god, that dude's the devil. And then he'll have another week where he's amazing, and it's like, wait, which guy do you want to be? I think he's bipolar.
He might be a little bipolar politically.
He might be.
Politically, yeah. Okay, so this article was out on Telegraph Co. UK. So it is a UK article, so there are some certain things here about things being, you know, pence a liter and things like that. But essentially, Brent crude fell below $30 a barrel. $30 a barrel. Remember, they were trying to get the cost below $80?
Yeah.
So at $80 a barrel, it was about $2.25 a gallon here in Florida. So we're probably going to see gas prices go even lower. And, I mean, it was a dramatic drop.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
A dramatic drop, ridiculous. As our stockpiles grew.
Yeah.
Analyst expectations said we'd have a stockpile of an additional stockpile of 1.6 million barrels. Yeah, we stockpiled 8.4 million.
Yep.
So, you know, we're just putting it away for a rainy day. Raining gas.
And speaking of rain, and well, since you can't drink gas, you can drink water. And this essentially makes a cost of a gallon of gas on par or not less than bottled water.
Which is pretty crazy. Just
amazing.
Let that sink in. That's ridiculous. Oil last fell close at $10 a barrel in 1998. So we're definitely that. Wow. Which was that long ago?
Well,
my God.
Michael earlier mentioned that he hadn't seen gas prices this low since he was in the military. When I started driving was around that time, 1998, and I remember gas at less than a dollar, you know, 89 cents, where, you know, you take somebody somewhere and they'd be like, oh, I'll give you $5 for gas. And I'm like, whoa, am I taking you to Jersey? What? No.
Yeah, seriously.
$5 for gas was cash.
Like the whole tank. That was before my driving time, because I didn't start driving until after 2000. Yeah, it's under $2 now. And when I bought my car, when I was in the service, that was 2008, It was under $2. It had just climbed over 150 and people were losing their minds.
And my only hope is that this leads to the eventual, and I know it won't, because once a business gets to a certain point, that's where they're going to stay. But obviously, as gas prices rose, then you get into transportation costs so much, getting the supplies we need costs so much. That's why we have to raise these prices, because gas is so high. Well, gas isn't high mm-hmm. anymore. Your prices should go backwards. But that affects the bottom line, so we'll never see it. But that's what should happen.
Right. But
we'll see it, because here's the thing.
Huh.
Now that people can afford gas, they're going to start driving their own damn self. Because they don't want to pay someone else for this shit.
Yeah, but the products that come to market,
transit prices are going to be affected by this.
Yeah, but the things that are already in Walmart, those costs aren't going to get rolled back that much.
It won't go back to a 1998 thing, is what I'm saying. No. Let's say McDonald's. Like, you're not going to go and see 2 for $2 quarter pounders because they're at a 2 for $5 price. They're not changing that. They're never going to change that back, even though they're not paying the same transportation they were in, let's say, 2011.
Now, what we might see, though, is changes in the Fed with what interest rates we get and just the valuation of the dollar. You know, things of that nature may offset that. They may even take money out of circulation. Hard to say what's really going to happen here. The buying power of that dollar may go up. But I don't see that, you know, with many retailers, this is just like, you know, a standard rollback, you know, prices, policies and things like that, where yes, it went back 2 cents, but then we're going to roll it back forward 5 cents the next time the gas prices go up just a little bit. You know, because we can. So, yeah.
Because this is what happens when you have an unregulated corporate,
it's,
corporate thing.
This is the trickle-up policy. That's how it works. So.
Yes, because so many things trickle up in nature.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Russian oil output hit a post-Soviet era high in 2015, according to the International Energy Agency. Saudi Arabia has urged Moscow, which is not a member of OPEC, to pare back production. The current oil prices may lead to quite hard and fast closures of certain oil producers in coming months, said Deputy Russian Finance Minister Maxis Orshkin, in a tentative sign that doggedly low prices were beginning to hurt the country. But the prospect of a Saudi-Russian entente was overshadowed by the news that global supplies grew by another 200,000 barrels to 482.6 million last week. The U.S. Energy Information Administration said its gasoline stockpiles grew. That's what you were reading earlier. U.S. crude oil inventories remain near levels not seen for this time of year in at least the last 80 years. Wow. And they're expecting the inventory growth to continue for the next 2 years. West Texas Intermediate lost 1.2 pence to 30.1. I guess, are those euros? I guess this is supposed to be in euros. So I've been giving you dollars. I believe these are euro dollars. So Brent crude prices fell below 30 euros for the first time. I think that's accurate.
Which is still cheaper on our end because the euro is higher than what our dollar is right now.
Yeah. Just a bit. Somewhere in there. So analysts say prices would fall further as worries about the state of the global economy and oversupply overwhelmed the market. The collapse in oil prices has been driven by OPEC's decision to maintain record production in the face of dwindling demand. The cartel, OPEC, which controls a third of the world's supply, has failed to agree on a formal production target after being riven by conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Facing stalemate, OPEC has called upon producers outside the cartel to step back and help stabilize prices. But OPEC's
dysfunction... Yeah, that's going to fucking happen.
Exactly.
No.
It's like,
why would your competition want to help you make money?
I believe that would be called collusion.
Yeah. And that shit don't happen, man.
And that is typically illegal.
OPEC would have a better chance of contacting China and convincing them that they need to ramp production back up, not of oil, but of all the other things they were doing that burned oil and thus created the pollution they're dealing with. But no, China's finally smartened up and they're like, hey, we should slow this down so we don't all die.
Right. And
yeah, China's
so,
like, whoa, we need to slow our roll here.
So China, as we discussed last week, the largest coal producer in the universe, they have decided to go with more alternative energy strategies and are shuttering a lot of those things. So with that action, I mean, let's pan back a little bit to a more 50,000 foot view, the high level overview of how this affects global economic policies and just the geopolitical state of that side of the world. Because, you know, here in the United States, we have a unique aspect. We have two coasts. Two enormous bodies of water on either side, our moats, if you will, the Atlantic and the Pacific. So we're kind of isolated, actually, from a lot of this stuff, which is why we're so powerful, you know, if you really kind of think about that for a second. Now, over there, with all of their borders bumped up against each other and everything, they have pipelines going across. They've got a lot more interesting politics, honestly, than we do, and always have and always will. But with this, OPEC, predominantly, let's just call it Saudi Arabia because that's who it is. The Twin Towers? Yeah, the pilots and those terrorists came from Saudi Arabia. Just to call it back to that.
Well, that's, I mean, a whole nother thing.
Well, no, it's not.
Well, no. What I'm saying,
I'm just giving
nother,
you pictures.
Well, no, what I'm saying a whole nother thing in that regard is, we, because of the dependence on oil that we had for so long, Saudi Arabia was essentially protected. And that's why, in that sense,
exactly,
Saudi Arabia sent those pilots to destroy the World Trade Centers. And then we attacked another country. Now that we are not required, you know, like Saudi Arabia's protections are about to disintegrate.
That's what I'm getting at. So,
yeah.
So they've had that, you know, they don't like Israel. They certainly don't like Iran. You know, there have been constant conflicts there, you know, I don't know, since, like, we started recording things. Not like the show, but I mean, like, on paper.
Yeah, like words.
Yeah, like words to, on papyrus.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, since then, there have been problems. And the same thing with Russia. Russia has always been, you know, the red bear in the north, always been a problem. So, we're seeing a bit of a change of the power structure over there. They've had the king died, the prince took power, I believe the energy minister or the finance minister, I'd have to go back through the shows, he stepped down. So Saudi Arabia has been in a bit of a changeover, a bit of turmoil with just their heads of state. And they've decided to keep this policy of pushing production. Well, now their production is being completely overshadowed by their other powers. And the United States, thanks in large part to Obama and the coalition, got Iran to play ball.
The funny thing is here in this, this just occurred to me, is that, you know, oil production, just production of any kind like this, it's all about the space you have to do it in. Russia is in Asia. Saudi Arabia got into a land war with Asia.
You don't get into land wars with Asia.
You don't get into a land war in Asia.
Yeah. Well, say what you will about Russia, but they do know how to fight.
They do.
Yeah, they lure people into their giant wasteland in the winter. They're like, hey, we're totally cool. Why don't you guys come in December?
Well, we've also seen...
They just hold out until wintertime, and then you lose.
I've got one country to name that will put a lot of other things into perspective. Ukraine.
That is the other part of their incredible defensive strategy, the Ural Mountain Range.
But
you can't get through it. But you just can't.
But what did Putin do? He came in and basically annexed them back.
Yep. I mean, Russia knows. They know where the, they know where their wall is.
Right.
It's that mountain range. They need it.
Yeah, but not only that, but the bear is flexing its muscles.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically saying, okay, come on. Come on, bro.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah. So they've got the oil production. They've now postured themselves quasi-aggressively against the Middle East. They have been bombing the shit out of them for, you know, various reasons. We can go into exactly who they've been bombing and why, but
and
needless
why,
to say...
And there are a lot of things that we, you know, if anyone's listening to the show knows, we disagree with Russia on, but there is one thing that I can at least understand where they're coming from. After the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia got really shit on by, like, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're getting a little power back, and they're, you know, regaining their identity. And I get that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's part of his politics bipolar disorder, is that he knows he's doing the things, you know, like you said, there are things we disagree with, and then there are things that we look at and we're like, that's amazing. Keep doing that. And part of it is this is what I truly want to do, but I'm not going to let anybody push me around. So half of it is awesome, and then half of it is, oh, by the way, we're stubborn, and screw you.
Which, again, I get, because they're, you know, Russia is sort of rebuilding their national pride and their national identity, which I get that. I think some days it's definitely like, whoa, Putin, you need to slow your roll there. But at the same time, I get it. And with a bunch of stuff, I'm with him on it.
Well, he toes the line fairly well. It's definitely a slow your roll, but then all of a sudden things change and he's slowed the roll and he's focused elsewhere. And it's,
yeah.
It's,
now, hang on a sec. I just read a little further and I looked over at another article. Now, the other article, which is from a local news agency, okay? I just want to give a quick comparison of the amount of information that we are trying to dig in and the amount of information that just the popular media is going to spit at you. Mm-hmm. It's just from Click Orlando, which is the Channel 6 affiliate here in Florida. Drivers who like the lower price at the pump may soon have even more to smile about. Experts say gas prices could soon head towards $1 a gallon mark. According to reports by AAA and Gas Buddy, tumbling oil prices combined with a strong refinery capacity could push the price of regular gas to near $1 a gallon, which weren't last seen in 1999. For now, gas prices are still hovering near the $2 a gallon mark in most places around the country. According to AAA, the average price for a gallon of gas regular gas nationwide is $1.96 a gallon. In Florida, drivers are paying around $1.96 a gallon. In some states, gas can currently be found as low as $1.42 a gallon. That's it. That is all they have to say about it. So, what we're saying, what we're going into, is a much greater detail about how all of this actually is.
Because we're America, and we only care about us. So that's why the local news is only reporting the egocentric, like, oh, gas is going to be super cheap, not what is this actually affecting geopolitically.
Okay, apparently, the internet here just died.
Did you break it?
I didn't break a darn thing, but apparently everything just went offline.
We were praising Putin too much.
I don't know what's going on, but we are still recording at least the audio. Let's see what we can do about getting it back. Oh, here it goes. Coming back, and hit try again.
I seem to be on.
Okay, hang on.
Did we lose Michael?
Almost. No, Michael's there. Hey!
Hey, did it come back?
It has come back. I'm not sure what exactly happened there, but thankfully, we are still broadcasting. We still have viewers, so thank you very much for being there. Apparently, all this talk and everything has, caused my internet provider to say bad things to me. So,
well, you know.
Yeah, regardless. Whatever that is, I may need to replace my cable modem. I've actually been looking at that. Anyway, so what I was getting on about there was that the local affiliate is not going into why. Only that, hey, you should rejoice because, look, lower gas prices. Yay, smiles. Whereas we're going to tell you that the sell-off has also been driven by the prospect of Iran returning to global markets after the lifting of Western-imposed sanctions, which could be complete as early as next week. Iran has remained impervious to Saudi calls to limit production, insisting that it will add an additional 500,000 barrels a day to the global market within weeks of the sanctions being lifted. That is a game changer. So, no wonder so many people didn't want the sanctions to be lifted off Iran. Because it wasn't about terror. It wasn't about nuclear weapons. No, it was all about oil.
It's all about the oil.
Over and over again.
Well, what is it that you always say?
Follow the money. There we are. Around $400 billion of spending on new oil and gas projects have been delayed or canceled in the wake of the oil price crash. So, yeah, it's this is really big news, and I'm really scared that the people here in the United States and all over the world are not going to understand why. Because this is big. This is a fundamental shift of power structures in a hated region in the world.
Really important.
It's massively important. And we're coming up on an election. I don't think any of the yahoos on the right are going to say anything about it other than, you know, that we still need to go to war. We need to fight these people. We need to, you know, why? When the peaceful solution has lowered our gas prices.
It worked.
It lowered
the peaceful solution lowered gas prices. The peaceful solution got our sailors freed in a matter of days. You know, the peaceful solution works.
Yeah. It's amazing. You don't have to go to war.
In fact, it shows more strength when you don't. It shows confidence that, yeah, we could fucking take you. So we're going to do this the nice way. We're going to play nice. We're going to be peaceful because, you know, at the end of the day, we can fucking take you, so don't push us.
Yeah.
That's how America ran itself in the era of the world wars.
Yeah.
That's why we weren't a part of the world wars until someone poked the bear, and no one wanted to poke the bear. It worked.
Yeah.
It was our most successful, our most prosperous periods in history came out of that policy. And it was best put by a Republican president. Roosevelt himself, speak softly, carry a big stick.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah.
And it boggles my mind that the GOP just completely ignores the lessons of the past.
Well, they're too busy making horrible comments on.
They're too busy making asses of themselves is what they're doing.
They've been hijacked. That entire party has been hijacked by people that only want – they're insanely selfish. All they're doing is power grabs. They're not actually going to do anything for their voter base. In fact, they're going to do as little as possible for
their
voter base.
They're going to do negative things for their voter base. They're short-sighted so badly that they're actually looking backwards.
That may be the case. So – I think we've gotten some traction on that one. So, anytime that I see the gas prices fluctuate, I always ask myself, why? Why do those gas prices go down? Why do those gas prices go up? Because I know that the gas comes from overseas in many cases. And even if it didn't come from there, the price is affected by over there.
Yeah.
So what happened that made this go there? Why am I paying more? Why am I paying less? It's a pulse of this nation and of the world because, well, we run on fuel. The lights that are on in this studio environment, the monitors that are powered up, The fact that you are listening to the sound of my voice alone means that somewhere fossil fuels are being burned. You know, to get this energy to do all this and to deliver it to you. This is important stuff. This is the world we live in. So keep asking why. We'll keep asking why, and we'll follow these markets and figure out what to expect. Not that we're going to be able to do anything about it, but we could maybe talk to the people that can. And that's being active and being a informed consumer and voter. So speaking about things that are... There we go. There's the right clip. Ugly.
There it is.
Okay. Since we're talking about the Republicans...
Why are we not?
Well, Donald Trump, on Wednesday night, a group called the Freedom Kids performed for Donald Trump rally in Pensacola, Florida. And there's a video of their performance. I have so far avoided actually playing it, but I think I have to now just to see how bad or ugly it is. So, well, I'm sorry in advance. Oh, I have it muted. That's probably
the way. That's the way it should be.
That is the best way to watch it. I've seen it, and oh my god, it's assaulting.
It's assaulting, okay.
on the senses.
Well, prepare to be assaulted. Just
oh god,
here we go.
She's for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom rings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA!
What the
enemies
fuck?
Of freedom.
Seriously?
Face the music. Come on, boys, take them down.
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength.
Oh my god, somebody's applauding in the back. Oh my, no, no. Oh.
This is some Orwellian shit.
Oh. Right
here. Over here. USA! Over there. USA! Freedom and liberty everywhere.
Oh.
Oh, say, can you see? It's not so easy. But we have to stand up tall and answer freedom's call.
Oh. Oh, no.
USA!
Oh, they did it.
USA!
USA!
We're the land of the free and the home of the brave. USA!
USA!
Oh.
The stars and stripes are flying.
I'm in pain.
Andy, I blame you.
I blame Trump.
No, no. I avoided that and Trump put it out. I got suckered in tonight.
Oh, no.
We're the red, white, and blue. Fiercely free, that's who. Our colors don't run no serene.
They're lip syncing too. Just thought I'd mention that.
You're a bad man, Andy.
What?
Over a bad man.
Over there.
They're.
Freedom and
I mean, maybe they sang it once.
Oh, say, can you see? It's
but.
Not so easy.
Yeah, no, they're.
But we have to stand up tall.
Those mics aren't attached to anything. Neither are their brains. Oh my god.
I hate Trump so much.
Oh, oh my gosh. So sample lyrics, cowardice, are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom rings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Oh, oh my. Ow. Ow.
I told you, it was assaulting.
Oh, no, I feel violated. That's not assault. That is... Oh, I feel dirty. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry for all of my listeners. I'm sorry for all of us. Okay, so how about Y'all Qaeda? Let's...
Can we even segue from that? Like,
no. That's why this is
a grinding halt.
This is a jump cut.
Yeah, just jump cut. Like, nope.
Hey, here's the nope train. Woo woo. Nope, 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 nope. All aboard the nope train.
Nope o'clock.
I'm just gonna nope right out of here. Okay, so our favorite militia out in Burns, Oregon, they're still in the news because they're still there. They're still on federal property. Thankfully, the call for snacks has been answered, however.
Oh, it was answered. Those weren't snacks.
First off, real quick, the only thing that can make me happy about going to Yalkaida stories yeah. is the fact that you played that Trump story first.
Yeah.
So I see what you did there. I get it now. There was a purpose.
That is a matter of fact exactly why I did that. Yeah. But it's okay because America heard the call and sent them bags of dicks.
Just crates of dildos.
Because that's a snack for a little bitch.
That's right. You can order like little Haribo gummies shaped like penises, and you can send them to people. And well, people did. So, but that's not all that they sent. Oh no, they also sent full on dildos, big suckers too.
And to cap it all off, just recently they received a 55-gallon drum of lube.
You know who sent it?
No, I don't. Who sent it?
The creator of Cards Against Humanity.
Yes.
As if I didn't love that man already.
Exactly.
And if you didn't send it with the card attached, I'm going to be upset with you, sir.
So, the Yalkaida militia has been on the YouTubes.
Very angry with their bags of dicks.
Very angry bags of dicks, dildos, and, you know, 55-gallon drum of lube, personal lube. But apparently that is not good enough for them, so they needed more snacks. But apparently they forgot to bring a car, so they went ahead and stole the federal truck that was there.
And then got arrested for appropriating a government vehicle.
Yeah.
Let's not say stole, because apparently that's not what they got arrested for.
Right. Yeah.
Unauthorized use of that appropriated government vehicle.
Yeah. Okay. Just to call it back here. If you and me were to go ahead and take over a bird watching sanctuary and were to take like a golf cart that they owned and like just go down to the corner grocery to buy some gummy snacks or something. I think we'd be arrested. Do you think we'd be arrested?
Oh, absolutely. They'd arrest my ass so fast.
And
for the sake of future podcasts, I'm going to let the both of you know that if you do take over a birdwatching sanctuary, I'm not going to let it get to that point, because I will drive you both out of there with another rendition of that Donald Trump campaign
song. Oh, no. Oh, no.
You two will vacate so fast.
Andy and I are not so plebeian, not so without imagination that we would take over a bird sanctuary.
Which I understand.
If we ever got to that point, and it probably would never happen because while I am angry, Andy is a zen fucking master over there. But if we ever got angry enough to do, you know, a proper uprising, we'd do it right, sir.
Yes. I'm just saying,
at which point I would just get popcorn and watch. But if it was a bird sanctuary, I'm driving you out with Trump campaign songs.
No, absolutely. If I'm ever that far gone, if I'm that out of my mind that I think occupying a bird sanctuary is a good idea, drag my ass out of there.
I think that would be called an intervention.
Yes. That's,
yes. As soon as you guys look twice at the golf cart that's going to get you arrested, I will start jamming it on every radio I can find. Like, hey, by the way, remember this happened? Get out of here.
Oh, my God. It would be like South Korean audio warfare blasting, you know.
Yes, I'm going to borrow their speakers.
Yeah.
And turn them on your tiny little bird sanctuary.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You know, maybe we should do that in Oregon. Maybe that should happen. Just start.
Oh, by the way, Andy, if you close this good. Show with that song you played like you did last week.
Yeah.
That's everybody quits. Rage quit, done.
Flip table.
That was a pretty bad song. It was, yeah. Also, it got us not a takedown notice on YouTube, but they overlaid their own advertising. I have to go back and then mark it as explicit, and then they won't get any money. Because that's how it works. You can't monetize things that are explicit, which is why sometimes, Mike, I say, please no cursing, because then no money.
Womp womp.
Yeah, that's how that works. Anywho, just wanted to point out yet again that these white people taking over a bird sanctuary,
because that's what white people do, we're boring,
are not being forced out. They're not being pursued in any way. And when they do something that is grossly illegal, they're slapped on the wrist, really. And I don't understand how this kind of thing can go on. They've been allowed to not only take over a federal building, but they're also completely allowed to leave it and go down to town and get supplies and come back, just not in federal vehicles.
In the chat room, Sheffy Buck again with vital information. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he also replated this vehicle in an attempt to hide it as what it was.
Really?
Which is a separate illegal act in and of itself.
Oh, dear.
But still only hit with that one charge. That's nothing.
Wow.
And we know from the story that he was on probation already, so I'm still confused how he still has a bail, how he's not in jail permanently. I mean, there's all these things that, like you said, if it had been you and Michael, if it had been me, if it had been, you know, any other regular non-militia white person, or, let's say, someone of darker pigment, you know, they would be gone for a extended vacation behind bars.
We wouldn't be able to send them dildos and gummy penises and barrels of lube. We would not be able to do that because they'd all already be in prison or gone completely.
The event
would have lasted one day. The headline would have been for like an hour, and then we would have moved on.
Yeah. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous. There's no call for this kind of thing. From this article, shortly after noon on Friday, January 15th, Oregon State Police arrested Kenneth Meidenbach, 62 years old, of Crescent, Oregon, at the Safeway in Burns, Oregon. He was arrested on probable cause for unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. Law enforcement officers recovered two vehicles stolen from the Mahler National Wildlife Refuge. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had previously reported the vehicles stolen to the Harney County Sheriff's Office. OSP troops and deputies from several county sheriff offices responded to the scene. Quote, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is grateful for the quick actions from law enforcement, said U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service spokesman Megan Nagel. We will continue to work with law enforcement to recover vehicles bought and paid for by the American people to care for their national wildlife refuge. Yeah. Just don't understand. Both vehicles were branded with new stickers that read Harney County Resource Center to cover the U.S. Fish and Wildlife logos that the new name the militia are insisting be used for the Mahler Wildlife Refuge. Oh, so they've reappropriated the entire building, renamed it, and are now relabeling the vehicles associated with it.
It's the Harney County Resource Center, and the only resources they have are dicks and lube.
Well, I guess they're set then.
This is the best part. If it, like, now we need a very, like, pro-gay pride march, because dicks and lube, like, they would be gone in a minute. Like, oh yes, Resource Center, dicks and lube, and get them out of there. Let's get, like, the New York Gay Pride Parade to march on that building, and they will be gone like that.
Oh, wait. It gets better. Meanwhile, the Bundy militia have allegedly started removing FBI surveillance equipment in the area, something they promised to do in their press briefings this morning.
They have press briefings. press briefings.
Yeah. Whether it belongs to the FBI or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Bundy's militia is making good on their promise to take down surveillance equipment. There are pictures. On Twitter. Of the person taking it down.
Yep.
It's... How are these people allowed to do this?
Because America and the Bible and Second Amendment and other bullshit that I don't care about, they're criminals and they need to be stopped.
Yes. This breaks my brain. I do not understand this. How can I explain the law to my children when things like this are allowed to exist in our fair land?
I'll tell you. You explain the law to your children like this. The two of you are white. Do what you want.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, wait. That's not what I'm supposed
true.
To... That's not what I'm supposed to take from this?
No. I hope no. No. We need Ophelia. I need Ophelia back. I need her cards, the white privilege cards.
But, yep. But if that's not what I'm supposed to take from this, my weekend is shot.
Right? I mean, that's the message they're telling us.
It's okay. You still got the dildos and the lube. It's fine. Yeah, you can make do.
That wasn't part of my weekend. That's their weekend.
Oh, shit. Okay. You know, I'm depleted. I don't think I have anything else that I can bring to the table on this other than just complete outrage that it still is a thing. However, there is one thing. I believe the Fish and Wildlife Service stated that they were going to be charging the Bundys, was it 70,000 plus a day
for
their
occupancy?
Yeah, they won't pay for grazing rights. You honestly think they're going to pay a dime to occupy any more territory? It's their thing, and you're allowing them to do it. These people simply need to be thrown away. Lock it away. Toss the key away, and then bury the whole thing under a pile of sand. Or something. I have no idea. I've lost my mind.
No, I think that's a solid idea.
Sounds good. Okay. So, we are done, essentially. Do we have any entertainment reviews or nitpicks or anything else that we wish to share with the group? Something shared. That was that.
I can give you one.
Okay, what you got?
I recently read a book called The Flicker Men, by Ted Kosmatka. I may be spelling that wrong or saying that wrong. Kosmatka, Kosmatka. Very interesting book. Might be a tad too intelligent for me. kind of sci-fi. Basically, it revolves around a scientist in the field of quantum mechanics. And he takes the double slit experiment, which basically studies how light behaves as both, particles and a wave, individual particles and a wave, and uses it to basically determine who or what beings have souls.
What?
Finds a way to extrapolate on the original experiment and finds out what living creatures have souls. And
a soul detector.
Basically is what it ends up being, his version of the experiment. And all of the things that end up happening because of this very large jump in technology and religion. At one point, a pastor uses it to test fetuses.
To determine when the soul arrives.
Exactly. To hopefully contest abortions. Obviously it doesn't go down that road. It's just a short section in the book. It's very interesting. The science in it is very easy to read, but there was some that I had not been exposed to. That's why I say too smart for me. I could do more research on and then I would understand it better, but it still comes off as it's not a technical manual intersped around fiction. It reads very well. It's an amazing book. I enjoyed it immensely. And there are some turns that you could take. Like, there's a point in the book that you get to where you could write the ending a completely different way, and it would be just as entertaining a book.
Huh.
But it's called The Flicker Men, and it's by Ted Kazmatka.
Okay, we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Michael, do you have anything?
I do not have anything this week. Nothing new has come across my plate. I will try to do better.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Now, I've been on the road a lot and doing a great deal of work, and one of the things that has suffered and fallen by the wayside a little bit has been my Topic Tuesday posts. I have not been doing that as regularly. In fact, it's been many weeks since I've done that, and I've decided that I'm going to take it a different direction. I did I ended it with a short note on me taking a sabbatical, and that's essentially what I'm done, and I'm going to come back louder and stronger with it, with more in-depth analysis on things, greater topics and things like that. Something that jumped out at me with it, which is not something that I'm immediately going to do because, well, we've got these elections coming up, and that's something that I really want to focus on, is understanding the election process here in the United States and how this great government of ours actually functions or dysfunctions, as it were. So that's going to be, many of the topics is, you know, the little bits of that, like how the Electoral College works, what's a delegate, what's a superdelegate, things like that. But after all that is taken care of, one of the things that came to my attention was the boundaries of our three-letter agencies. Because it came to my attention as I was servicing a new VA hospital. As I tried to get in touch with their IT, I found out, much to my surprise, that their IT has been outsourced to the Department of Homeland Security. And I did not know that they did that. I don't know that anybody knows that they did that. They were also terribly difficult to get a hold of, and we never actually did get a hold of them. So, yay, it's working, I guess. Or not.
Question mark?
Yeah, so... For those of you that aren't really up on the whole thing, the Department of Homeland Security did not exist pre-9/11. That was not an agency that was anywhere to be seen. It also sounds very Orwellian, the yes. Department of Homeland Security. And if not Orwellian, kinda Nazi. Kinda. For the motherland.
It definitely sounds totalitarian.
Yeah, it's kinda shady. They really could have come up with a better name. That's all I'm saying. Really could have come up with a better name. So DHS, as it were, has not been around for very long, but their reach has grown massively as such a department named that would in a totalitarian kind of government space. So I'm curious as to what their actual reach is. What are their powers? What can they do? What can they not do? You know, how much overlap there are between the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, NSA, all of the alphabet soup agencies that we have, many of which I've been reading stories since, like, I didn't know we had that department. The Department of what? You know, we have a lot of things to go through. Government is big, and I don't think anybody really knows how big it is. So, slowly, over the course of the next years, I'm imagining, my Topic Tuesday posts will be filled with trying to figure these things out, and what these agencies are, and to try and encapsulate it in something that is not bigger than a meme, but less than a novel. So, keep your eye out for the website, for the Topic Tuesday posts, that they will be available, and I will post them on our Facebook page and through Twitter and all that fun stuff through the social medias. So hopefully we all learn something. I know I will.
Shameless self-promotion is always good, even better when it helps you learn something.
I do what I can. I know that some people were wondering, it's like, hey, you haven't done that. Are you okay? Is that going to come back or anything? So it ended up being just a little bit too light. You know, it was more just like whatever I was thinking at the moment. And sometimes that went into more of a rant and became something good. Other times I was just never happy with it. So I'm going to try and be more organized for future events, both here on this show and for Topic Tuesday. And maybe they'll mesh together in some way and we'll have a nice little happy synergy there. Also for this show coming up, on February 12th, we are going to have the return of No Religion Required. We're going to have Bobby C and Miss Ashley and maybe the Prophet Jeremiah from their show. We're going to have them back to discuss. It's been over a year, so we're going to discuss all the changes that have happened with No Religion Required and the three of them, because originally when we talked to them, there was only two of them on the show. Now there's a whole other guy there. They've moved to a different network, and they're doing some amazing activism, and they're just nice people, and I want to touch base with them and see how they're doing. So that's going to be show 96, and that's going to be on February 12th, so you get to look forward to that one. On show, 94, that's probably going to be the How Elections Work, and that's going to be on January 29th, so that's just a couple weeks here, and we're going to kind of dig into that. Again, that's going to be the synergy thing with Topic Tuesday. And we're going to see that, because that is awfully close to the primaries, because the Iowa primary is on February 1st. So we're going to try and get that out there so that, anybody that's listening and happens to be in Iowa actually understands what they're getting themselves into. So good luck with all that to us. I say that. Good luck. Okay, and with that, unless you guys have anything else, I think that is it for tonight. We'll be back next Friday about 9:30 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, the conversation continue on the web. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's O-R-L-Y-R-A-D-I-O for all the links at the top of the page, and do watch us live and chat in the IRC. Thank you very much, Chefy Buck, for being out there, and hopefully I'll get my rig working and be back out there with you too. If you've liked what we've done here, you know, forget the Patreon. Just share the show. That's all I want you to do. It's simple. Just share it on your own page, on your social media, on your Twitter. Just, you know, download it discreetly on somebody's iPod and on their phone or whatever, and just make them listen to it in the car. It'll be fine. Trust me, it'll be fine. No problems. And if you can't do that, well, you can still contribute to the show with topic ideas, corrections, advertising offers, unclaimed lottery tickets, you know, that whole Powerball thing, hate mail, and unsolicited advice by emailing them to us at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a voicemail at 470-222-6759. We also accept text messages and things like that there. And you can post and vote on stories on the subreddit. Leave us a glowing review on whatever platform you found us on. We love those 5-star reviews. And of course, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google Plus, and subscribe to the YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. And can't thank you enough for spending some time with us. Till next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music for the show was created by Kevin McLeod of incomtech.com.
That's it, everybody. Ciao. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
And that is it. The broadcast has been successfully terminated. It's in the can.
It's in the can.
There we go.